Good morning, good afternoon, good evening from wherever you are joining us in the world. Welcome to On a Grand Scale with Uno T. Danyoni. I'm super excited for you joining today because there is a topic that we are discussing called Understanding and Mastering the Rockefeller Habits. Here on this podcast, we talk everything scaling. How do you take your organization from one level to the next? How do you manage growth? How do you take your dream, your idea to the next level? So, part of doing that is us studying, understanding methodologies, habits, ideas that help us move from one place to the next. How do you scale your life? How do you scale your business? And in this case, we are talking scaling your business. So, understanding and mastering the Rockefeller habits. Backstory to this is two things. What are or who is Rockefeller? John D. Rockefeller is widely regarded as the wealthiest American of all time and one of the most influential figures in the history of business, right? He was born in the 1830s, died around 1940 something, and was highly regarded as an industrialist of note. And then Vern Hannish, an author and a master of studying scaling organizations, wrote a book called Mastering the Rockefeller Habits. And so we want to kind of go through. He argues, Vern Hannish argues that there are habits that organizations can use to maintain alignment, accountability, consistent execution as they grow. And these habits are the Rockefeller habits. And that's where that comes from. That's the backstory of the Rockefeller habits. So today we want to first understand them and then just dig in a little bit on how to then master them and start implementing them in your business. I'll be sharing with you the knowledge I have around it and the experiences we've had with organizations that we work with when we help them scale. So let's get to it. So first, why are these important? So that, we don't waste each other's time. Why would we consider these habits to be important? Apart from what, the book Scaling Up says, which is very critical, for an organization to grow, there must be you must use a framework that a structure, a framework that helps you grow. And part of that, maintaining order, is understanding the things that make you work. And so the habits provide a framework that helps you scale sustainably, right? That's the first thing. The second thing is that you want to reduce owner dependency, right? We often find that, when we work with scaling organizations, that when the owner is not there, things don't move. And when the owner is there, they are the main driver of things that go on in the organization. This is primarily because the entrepreneur has mastered the way things should be done, but has not mastered the way that those could be documented and replicated across the organization so that if they leave, the organization can live sustainably. So, part of talking about the mastering the Rockefeller habits is actually helping the entrepreneur to reduce that entrepreneur, CEO, or owner dependency. You want to be in an organization that has processes and systems that work enough to help you scale your business. But in this case, we are talking particularly about habits. Habits of organizations that scale fast and sustainably so. So definitely the Rockefeller habits will help you do this. The third thing is that the habits will help you sweat less and let go of the organization so that it begins to grow with or without you, but sweating less is the thing. In the end, the last bit of why the Rockefeller habits would be important is that in the end, you want to make more money to have more fun, to create more impact, and to have more time in your hands. And the fast way to do this is to ensure that you master the habits that your organization masters the habits that make this happen, right? So, what are these habits? What are the Rockefeller habits? And I'm just going to take you through each one of them, explain a little bit, give you a little bit of experience, or share a little bit of experience from the clients that we work with. And through it, you can be able to note and see for yourself, where your organization is. As we go through all the 10 habits, think about it. Where is my organization? Am I living up to these habits? Where can I improve? What can I do to improve? And then in the last part, we will talk about how to then master them. So the first habit is the executive team is healthy and aligned. It speaks to team alignment. Right. And we are really focusing on the leadership team. That's what we call the executive team. The leadership team, here I'm talking about four or five of you that actually drive the organization. Is this team healthy and aligned? And the questions that one can ask around alignment is the leadership team works well together, shares a common vision, and resolves conflicts constructively. Right? Are we sharing a common vision? This is one challenge I find in many organizations. Sometimes you have something that's written, it's a vision, it says vision, mission, and values, but it's not lived within the organization. So it's not shared, right? Is the organization able, or is the leadership team able to resolve conflicts constructively? This is a critical one. Resolving conflicts constructively does not mean that people keep silent. It means everyone has a voice and they are free to speak their mind, and they speak so well. But the organization has mastered a way to resolve conflict and move. Another sub-part of team alignment is regular strategic discussions are held to maintain team alignment. There are meetings where strategy is discussed, where we are not just talking about the day-to-day, but where we talk about where the organization is going in the next 5 years, where the organization is going in the next year, where the organization in the next quarter. Have we reviewed the last quarter? This is how team alignment is created. That's habit one. The second habit has to do with prioritization, and its assertion is everyone is aligned with the number one thing that needs to be accomplished this quarter. Everyone is aligned with the number one thing that needs to be accomplished this quarter. What does this say? It means the organization identifies and focuses on the top priority, often called the critical number that will drive the business forward. So, what is the critical number for the quarter that everyone is working towards? Because when everyone knows what that number is, they are able to work towards it. They're able to celebrate when the things are going well, and they are likely to know when things are not going well. Everyone in the company also knows what the priority is and how they work, their work supports it. Everyone kind of knows. The cleaner knows, I'm cleaning because it's leading to this result that we will get that benefits us, benefits our customers, benefits, So it is about the prioritization. We can't be doing everything at all times. We've got to be in the business of prioritizing the things that are important for the organization. And if we are not prioritizing, it means we are focusing on everything. We're spreading ourselves too thin, and we cannot then be able to accomplish the things that we can. Habit number three speaks to communication. And the assertion there is rhythm is established and information moves through the organization quickly. What do we mean by rhythm? There is a consistent meeting rhythm, which ensures effective communication. So this is an exciting part of the habit, that for teams that communicate or that work with each other well, there is daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, and annual meetings that take place, right? Daily check-ins, they're very short, weekly meetings where we review the last week and get into the next week, monthly where we say, okay, this is what we had for the month, this is where we are going for the next month. These are key meetings that take place. And part of what Vern Hanisch says in Mastering the Rockefeller Habits is that, Rockefeller used to meet with his team on a daily basis over lunch. What are we doing? Is your executive team, as you, Mr. CEO, meeting to get things done? And are we, because, when you meet frequently, one of the things that I learned, and one of the things that I've learned with working with clients and with experiencing and working with the Rockefeller Habits ourselves, is that when we are meeting frequently, we identify issues very frequently and we deal with them there and then. They are not left for weeks before they are done. So that's habit number three. So where do you stand as far as that is concerned? Number four speaks to accountability. And the habit is every facet of the organization has a person accountable for ensuring goals are met. Every facet of the organization has a person accountable for ensuring goals are met. There is no function of the organization that has no one person that is and can be held accountable for it. Clear accountability is established at every level, ensuring that each task and objective has an owner responsible for its success. I often find that when we work with clients, sometimes there are things that no one is held accountable for because no one has been given the task. Or sometimes it's two or three people that are held accountable for one thing, and that's a disaster. Only one person can be held accountable. There are many people that can be responsible, but accountability should be very clear, should be very clear. So organizations that scale well and do well have this as one of their habits. We have to know who is accountable for what. Number five habit is on employee feedback. And the assertion is ongoing employee feedback is collected to identify obstacles and opportunities. So we are a talking organization, we're a communicating organization in which employees have a say in what is going on in the organization. And their feedback is taken and is taken seriously because the people side of the business is critical. If there's a high employee turnover, the organization is not going to scale at the level that it needs to. So there is a way in which we regularly gather feedback from employees to understand the challenges, improve the systems, and identify growth opportunities. That is employee feedback. So where's your organization when it comes to receiving feedback? Is the HR function working well in that regard? Who is accountable for it? That's habit number four. But number five is just, are we getting it? And are we using it to run the organization? Habit number six speaks to customer feedback. Just as we get employee feedback, we also get customer feedback. And the assertion is reporting and analysis of customer feedback is as frequent and accurate as financial data. We're not just looking at the revenue that we are making. We are also looking at what the customer is saying, because what the customer is saying is what makes us tick. We're not going to wait for customers to move out and find other suppliers before we know what is going on and what is wrong within the organization. So the company collects, tracks, and acts on customer feedback as diligently as it does on financial performance. This ensures customer needs are central to decision making. So we are a listening organization. Organizations that do well are listening organizations. They listen to their customers and they listen to their employees. But number six was speaking to that customer feedback. The seventh habit really speaks to the core of the organization. And the assertion is core values and purpose are alive in the organization. The core values of the organization and the purpose are alive in the organization. The purpose of the organization speaks to the why. Why are we doing what we are doing? Why are we in the business that we are in? And it's not just for money. It's got to be a deeper level. It's an impact. It's a touchy-feely something that's down there that makes us say, this is where we are going as an organization. What are our core values, our core beliefs, our commandments for the organizations? Are they known and are they alive in the organization? Core values and the company's purpose are clearly defined, communicated, and embedded in daily operations. Employees are recognized for behavior that aligns with these values. So our values are not just there to be known and claimed by our organization, but employees are remunerated or rewarded according to how they work with these values in the organization. Habit number eight speaks to strategy, and the assertion is employees can articulate the organization's strategy accurately. This is a big one whenever we work with organizations that are scaling. Getting to just understand the strategy of the organization. Where is the organization going? If employees in this organization don't understand it, means it's not simple enough. Maybe it's not jointly created. It's not owned by all. Maybe it's a top-down approach. There's a problem. The assertion there is that every employee understands and can explain the company strategy, can explain the key differentiators of the organization and the long-term goals. They know where the organization is going. Such a difficult thing to do, but when an organization knows this, it kind of helps the organization grow. So where are you when it comes to the strategy of your organization? Then habit number nine speaks to individual KPIs. Not only do we talk about accountability, we talk about how do we measure, what happens within every employee. And the assertion there is all employees have a number to track and a goal for the week. All employees have a number to track and a goal for the week. This is very critical. It actually, therefore, says to us, what do we have a dashboard? And in that dashboard, can each employee see which number they are contributing to? And can they report on something? Maybe in their daily meeting, what is happening such that they are able to do this? This becomes very, very critical for the organization. And so the assertion is all employees have a number to track and a goal for the week. Each employee has a measurable metric they are responsible for and a weekly goal that aligns with the organization's priorities. Then the last habit has to do with can everybody, visibility of the things that the organization is working on within the organization. And the assertion is the company's plans and performance are visible to everyone. Everybody can see the plans or knows what the plans are and at least knows how the organization is performing. So goals, priorities, and key performance indicators are transparently communicated throughout the organization. And we have a visual dashboard or scoreboards that track progress and keep everyone informed. This is something that organizations that grow by two, by three, or that at least grow by about over 50% a year are have to have and have to be in the business of mastering. So where are you in this? This is what they are, the 10 habits. The last part of this presentation is really going to be about how do you begin to master them? these habits. They are 10. And I know that when you do that, you can see that you can fall short and things like that. But there is a way in which you get to master them. First of all, I'd invite you to really take the Rockefeller Habits Test. Download the form on our website, gscfo.co.za, and get the test. And just mark for yourself where you are. You can even go onto the Scaling Up website and also get the 10 habits. And take a questionnaire that helps you to understand where you are at as far as this habits. That's the first place to check. You will find that there are some habits that you are working well on, and there are some that you are not working well on. And this really just clarifies for yourself what work you have to do. The second part of mastering the Rockefeller habits is to use the scaling up methodology. Again, written by Vernon Harnish, there's a book called Scaling Up. Scaling up is the methodology that you then use to make these habits come alive. And why do I say that? I think that it's one of the best frameworks one can ever use that simplifies growing a business to the next level. It's one thing to start up a business. Scaling is a totally different animal. And scaling needs you to have structure and an understanding of it. And the book Scaling Up, which I would definitely recommend that you buy by Vern Harnish, will kind of start clarifying the things that must happen. He literally has four pillars that he uses in the book that help you start, making these habits come alive. And the pillars are people, strategy, execution, and cash. People, you want to make sure you have the right people on the right seats doing the right things. Strategy, you want to make sure you have a differentiation strategy that creates industry-leading profitability and sustainability. The third is execution. You want to make sure that all systems and processes work without drama, and they are leading to that profitability and sustainability as well. And then fourth is cash. Can you and do you have constant sources of internally generated cash that helps in the growth of your business? And this methodology and this framework helps you to then come in to the habits and make them come alive in your organization. Get started. I would also encourage you to get a scaling up coach, someone who understands the methodology and can facilitate as a coach to come in and help you to do the things that you need to do in your organization. We do this in our organization, and we work with organizations that are scaling fast and need the assistance of someone who can help them to do what needs to be done in their organization. So get started on this journey. I hope you have found this useful. If anything, please continue subscribing to On a Grand Scale. We're going to be talking more and more on scaling up. But secondly, if you can, buy the book Scaling Up, buy the book Mastering the Rockefeller Habits, or add them to your Audible list and start listening to this. If you are scaling an organization, I promise you, you will find these habits very useful as you build your team. If you also want to invite us to talk to your executive team around your strategy, your people, your execution, and cash, it's also something that's super welcome. But start now mastering and understanding the Rockefeller habits. Good morning, good evening, and good night. See you on the next one.